Good morning. Please be seated. I see a number of newcomers in the audience this morning, so welcome to Church of the Holy Cross, especially the members of Bill Wyatt's Education for Ministry class. You'll learn why they're here a little later in the service. So today's gospel reading gives me two thoughts. Here's the first one. The reading from John may actually be one of the most important messages in the Bible in regard to daily Christian living. And here's the second thought related to the first. If you want to think about the application of Scripture to life today, it really helps to have an example. So this morning, I want to talk about seeing John's message from 2,000 years ago in action in the life of an Episcopal saint who was alive 26 years ago. And yes, that last statement does mean that the Episcopal Church is still making saints. Saints with a small s, and if you want to know why lowercase s rather than uppercase s, read the printed version of the sermon when it's posted online, because it has footnotes in it. But the particular saint I want to talk about today lived right here in Northern Virginia. In fact, just down the road in Lake Barcroft. Thurgood Marshall, whose commemoration day was actually just last Friday, May 17th. So let's talk a little bit about Thurgood Marshall. He was born in Baltimore in 1908. His great-grandparents on both sides had been slaves. He attended Lincoln University, a historically black university in Pennsylvania, and apparently he struck his fellow classmates initially as being completely unserious. In fact, I think the way you would describe him today, he was a party animal. One classmate, the poet Langston Hughes, described him as rough and ready and loud and wrong. But something happened to Marshall during his first year in college, something that transformed him from party animal to literal saint. Because by his second year in school, he participated in a sit-in protesting segregation at a local theater in 1927, when he was all of 19 years old. Awakened to the injustice of apartheid, Marshall wanted a career in the law, but the University of Maryland Law School was closed to blacks. So he enrolled in Howard University in Washington, here in D.C., and when he graduated, the first thing he did was sue the University of Maryland Law School to force them to admit blacks. And he won that case at age 28. This launched his leadership of the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. And for the next 25 years, Marshall and his colleagues relentlessly attacked in courts the Jim Crow system of discrimination. He won 29 of 32 cases that went to the Supreme Court. But even though his team kept winning, they did so on technicalities. What was really needed was a Supreme Court ruling that racial discrimination itself was unconstitutional. And so Marshall finally found the winning argument, and it turned out it was in the area of public education. The NAACP brought cases in five different states challenging school segregation, and you actually know the name of the most famous case, Brown versus Board of Education, from Kansas. But another one of the five cases originated right here in Virginia. It involved high schools in Prince Edward County, Virginia, which is south of here. The black high school there was in part tar paper shacks, with pot-bellied stoves and outdoor privies, without a gymnasium, cafeteria, or auditorium, and the roof even leaked. When the Supreme Court issued its opinion in 1954, Marshall's victory was complete. The Supreme Court unanimously, 9-0, unanimously agreed that racial discrimination violates fundamental American constitutional values. I would bet just about everyone sitting in the congregation this morning has grown up in a country where racial discrimination by the government is forbidden. But as I just told you, this was not always so, and we have Thurgood Marshall and his team to thank for that. So the story of the fight to end school segregation and Marshall's role in it is told in this a really wonderful book by Richard Kluger entitled Simple Justice. I really recommend it. Kluger explains in the book the incredible hardship that the NAACP lawyers, most of them African Americans, faced in the Jim Crow South. They were refused lodging. They were turned away from restaurants. They were forbidden to use public restrooms. Sometimes they couldn't even buy gasoline. Even worse were the verbal, in some cases, physical threats, false arrests, even death threats. In 1952, as one example, the Ku Klux Klan encircled the hotel where some white NAACP lawyers were staying in Orlando with trucks and torches from dusk till dawn. Marshall's wife said of him during this period, "He's aged so in the past 5 years. This work is taking its toll of him." And his longtime friend William Hastie wrote, "He drove himself beyond the limits of human anatomy. He was at the point of exhaustion." Marshall and his team helped hundreds of people directly, most of whom were strangers to them before they became their lawyers. And 60-plus years later, we know that millions of Americans, all of us really, have benefited from their work and courage. So to me, Marshall's story raises a question. What inspires a person to endure this kind of hardship and worse in order to help others? How does one find the strength to overcome one obstacle after another to lift strangers out of privation and oppression? I think we can find the answer to that question in today's gospel reading. In today's reading, Jesus instructs the disciples, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." Now, Jesus says this is a new commandment, but didn't God say the same thing in Leviticus, right? In Leviticus 19, God gives Moses the injunction, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus calls on us to love neighbors and enemies. But in John, Jesus may be giving us a slightly different thought. Leviticus and the Synoptic Gospels imply an individual responsibility. In John, it seems to me that Jesus is calling on us to love one another in community. In community, not in isolation, not as individuals, something that requires us to recognize the people all around us, our shared humanity, a focus on loving action, not loving feeling, by helping one another. You see, faith really is a verb, not a belief or a feeling. Love one another, Christ says, just as I have loved you. Now, Thurgood Marshall was a devout Episcopalian. He knew and understood the Bible, and his biographers all agree that his belief and faith were powerful motivations for his actions on civil rights. I think that he heard and understood and answered the call in John chapter 13. It gave him the courage and determination to turn the darkness of racial hatred into light. That same inspiration is available to all of us when we read John. Indeed, I think one of the reasons the Episcopal Church continues to recognize new saints is to allow us to see Christ's instructions in action today, to see the power of loving action, to see the result of acting as members of God's community. Now, sometimes you hear people say, Episcopal saints are not real saints because, you know, where are the miracles? Well, I don't know about you, but Brown versus Board of Education is miracle enough for me. We're asked by the church to study the lives of saints for a reason. I encourage you to spend some time this week thinking about the lesson of the life of Saint Thurgood. What does his life mean for you and me? Actually, I think we've all known this answer since we were children, because the very first hymn that many of us learned taught us the answer. The saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. So in closing, I would ask you to join with me and pray the prayer appointed for the remembrance of the life, lived, and accomplishments of Thurgood Marshall, Supreme Court champion and first African-American member of the Supreme Court. Let us pray. Eternal and gracious God, who blessed your servant Thurgood Marshall with grace and courage to speak the truth, grant that, following his example, we may know you and recognize that we are all your children. Amen.